Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories, oh what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me,
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right. If you're ready for communion, get your bread. We know that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and He broke it. And He said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Eat your bread. Now get your back. And after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Drink your cup. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. May the Lord bless us as we go forth into his word this night. All right. We're going to be in the fourth chapter of the book of Romans. And let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as I look into your word this night, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to open my heart and my mind to receive the strength and the power and the truth of this gospel, Father. Not only for me, but so that I can have an understanding to teach others, to help them to come from darkness to light, that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. out, Father. Be with us throughout this study this evening. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now as we get into our study, here in verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found to? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham is a classic example of the principles of justification by faith. And you know, in this chapter, Paul uses Abraham's experience as evidence that this is not a new principle, but the same one God has always used in justifying the ungodly. Abraham, our father, Abraham is important for two reasons. He is the acknowledged father of the Jewish nation, and God justified him before the law was ever given. All right. Now here in verse 4, it says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You know, work, debt, and wages received are not a manifestation of grace. They are earned. The works remove grace from salvation. Justification is by faith alone. You see, we're not justified nor saved really by works of our own. It is all by and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, going to him and repenting of our past sins and bringing him into our hearts to live with us so that we can walk upright with him. Because on our own, we really are nothing. But through him, we can do all things. And the word tells us that. That through him and with him, we can do all things. Now, 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. You know, faith is counted for righteousness. Faith is not a work performed to earn righteousness. Rather, it is the means through which God can impute the righteousness of Jesus Christ to the sinner. He is thus accounted righteous, not made righteous. The former is the work of justification. The latter is the process of sanctification. Now, as we read through 7 and 8, it says, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Well, and whose sins are covered. 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. David, the appeal to David, the second most esteemed man in the history of Israel, shows that the giving of the law subsequent to Abraham does not abrogate the principle of justification by faith. It is still in force. And today, we accept salvation, justification, and all through and by faith. And anything else that we need that comes from God, that's the way we receive it, is through faith, believing. 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned when he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, the righteousness might be imputed unto them also. 12. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that of faith, our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. Now we know that this blessedness is a reference to the twofold blessedness of having God's righteousness imputed and of not having sins imputed. Circumcision only are upon the uncircumcision. And Paul anticipates the argument that circumcision, not faith, brought about Abraham's justification. But again, Abraham establishes Paul's point in that he was justified 24 years before he was circumcised. The sign of circumcision. Circumcision is a sign, a testament, or a seal. It has no value in itself, but represents the value another places on the thing seen. Circumcision represented the value of the Abraham placed on the promise of God, which he demonstrated by taking this sign in his flesh. Abraham was not justified because he was circumcised. He was circumcised as a testimony to the fact that he was justified. Now, you see, that's why when we came into this new age and this New Testament here in the church age, we didn't have to be circumcised. Because Jesus took all of this upon himself when he went to the cross. Now, what we today in order to make heaven our home is by going through the Lord Jesus Christ and staying in the Word of Almighty God to the point that we learn what God wants of us, and then we do that in obedience unto the want of Almighty God and what He is asking of you and I to do. Most don't understand this today, along with a lot of other things that's in the Word of God that they're not understanding and accepting today in order to make heaven their home. And it is weakening our churches, that most of our churches today has no power of God working in them at all. All right, now, 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. But you see, that promise to Abraham quite a while before he gave Moses the law. And it was accepted by Abraham by his faith. He may not have really even understood that in his day and time, because even then, up until the law came into the world, they didn't know right from wrong, really. They didn't know what was sin and what wasn't. That's why the law was established, was to let mankind know what was right, what was wrong, and what was sin, and that would keep them away from Almighty God or making heaven their eternal home. Now, 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. See, that's why things were changed. And you know, this era of the world that is spoken about there in 13, this promise is not stated directly, but it's drawn from Genesis. Paul understands this as being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The Messiah will rule more than the geographical area promised to Abraham. It's both the law and the promise have their ultimate force, focus, and fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot in the Old Testament that we do need. That's why we need also to read and to study the Old Testament. Because most, especially the prophets, were the things that were given to the prophets. A lot of those things wasn't even meant for their day. It was meant for our day. Now, 15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. 16. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. When you're talking about him being the father to us all, you're talking about him being the father to those of us that belong to the family of Almighty God that has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, and you say it is only those who have the faith of Abraham are the spiritual seed of Abraham, whether Jew or Gentile. Doesn't matter, but you have to be that believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to be under grace with salvation and justified and walking in righteousness. 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And you see, that's exactly what faith is. Faith is calling those things that are not seen as though they are, and believing that they are. Now, there are five essential characteristics of faith. First, faith must have a valid content. Paul quotes Genesis 17:5. The content of Abraham's faith is valid because that content was the revelation of God. And two, faith must have a valid object. The object of Abraham's faith was God, the giver of the revelation. And three, faith is contrary to hope and yet resteth upon hope. This is a hope in which there is no element of uncertainty. And four, faith has a purpose. And the purpose of Abraham's faith is that he might become the father of many nations, realizing the promise given him in the Abrahamic covenant. In fact, faith produces works. Abraham's faith conditioned the way he lived. He staggered not. He staggered not, which actually means he did not doubt God's promises. And he accepted those with his faith. And believing things God told him, even though they were not present at that moment to be seen. But they were real, and they all came into being. Each and every one of them. Now, 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. No, he, at that age, they had that promised child. But up until that age, they had no children And yet the promise was that his seed was going to inherit. Now, and besides being that old, he was about 100. Sarah was getting close, and she was in her 90s. But she was also barren. Her womb was dead. But you see, God can do what he wants done. And if he has told you something, you can take that to the bank. It will be, and it will be just as God tells it to you. Now, you may not understand even at that moment, but you start out at whatever it is he has told you, and everything will work out for you to see that accomplished, whatever it is. Now, 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You see, these are things we need to know. When you see a promise of God in his word, you can know that he will bring that promise into being. And if that promise was made to mankind, that meant to you also. That's why we can stand on the promise of those gifts of Almighty God working. And they all will. 22. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone. Now you see, we're seeing things here ourselves, that it was imputed to him. Wasn't written. That wasn't written to him alone. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You see, in those last three verses, us also, when we left off the barrel at the end of 23, it was not made to him. And for his sake alone, it was also imputed to him and also for you and I and all that we follow after that would become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ even unto this day. And the principle of justification valid for Abraham is valued for all believers. Raised again for our just because Jesus was raised from the dead. We know that his sacrifice on Calvary was accepted in God's sight, and Jesus' righteousness is available for all. You see, his obedience unto the Father is what has gave you and I everything. gave us salvation, righteousness, and justification in the eyes of Almighty God. It has brought unto us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that has brought to us the power and the gifts of the Spirit within us, so that we can go forth doing what God will call upon each and every one of us to do. Praise his holy name. We can't praise the Father enough for the things he has done for mankind and for you and I today. We were on his mind from the very beginning. You see, he knew us. We didn't know, but he knew us. Now, we have come to the end of chapter 4. We'll be stopping there for this evening. And God willing, we'll be able to pick up in the morning with verse 5, or chapter 5. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for this day in which you have made, Father. And we do need to rejoice and be glad in it, and to be giving you praise and honor and all the glory, because it's all yours. Now, Father, I pray for Israel, for them to have peace. But more than that, Father, I pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Messiah. In this land in which we live, Father, turned its back, had no excuse whatsoever. Only those sitting in high offices. It brings a lot of evil upon this land and this people, and has taken so much away from us, Father. And they took the most important thing away from us when they took the Lord Jesus Christ out of every place he was in, starting with our schools, taking him away from our children, Father. Father, we pray that there'll be a day and time that he'll be put back into our schools, back into our children, to help, Father, help them to receive the light, and that light of Jesus, Father, and that they'll be able to hear of him and your word. Now, Father, I pray that this land, with the evil ones being removed from office and being replaced by those that love you, love the Lord Jesus, and who will work with us to bring this land to repentance. Father, and work with us to put our government back on the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for each and every one that is on my heart. Father, you know me, Lord. I'm giving you their names, but you know them. And you know they are on my heart. Any powers, Dennis Lee, Amy and Tom and Jacob, Bobby and Millie, James Taylor, Father, So there, baby, going to the chain. All of our families, Father, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, my wife, myself, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit work with all to bring them to life, to keep them there, Father, and let them work with that light so that none be lost and all will be given in their home. Father, as we close up now and separate for the evening and the night, keep us in health, Father. Keep us safe. And bring us back together again for a moment and back into your word. Yes, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless you. Boy, oh boy. I've got to get something. Pardon me a moment. Have a great night, everyone.